This year's Cabaret Fringe Festival isn't short of incredible live acts, and our next guests are definitely one of them. Bessie Billy Dinah is a tribute show to Bessie Smith, Billie Holiday, and Dinah Washington, who are three pioneering vocalists of the early 20th century who made their mark in music history. Joining us now from the show is two of the performers, Bonnie Lee Galea and Quinton Dunn. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. Now,
I'm glad I could see you through all the fog this morning.
Oh, yeah. It is a bit foggy out there. Now, what is it about these women, to begin with, that inspired you to write this show?
Oh, over the years, I've had different people say, oh, you should sing songs from this person and that person. And as I've gone along the way, I've realised that some of the versions of certain songs have ended up being Dinah Washington's versions. So I started to explore a bit more about Dinah and found that she wasn't as well known as Billie Holiday and some of the other great jazz singers, not in Australia anyway. So I decided, I had a look at these three women and I thought, wow, I'd love to keep her music alive. It's quite amazing. I mean, Amy Winehouse used to talk about her all the time as well, one of her greatest inspirations. So these three women basically paved the way through, you know, the musical history, and they all died really young. So there's this little thread between them. They had pretty much similar hard lives, drug-driven lives, men, violent relationships, you know, moved around quite a bit, and they all died at 41, 44 and 39, so quite young, especially in this day.
And so is that why you decided to combine the work of these three artists together?
Yeah, definitely, because they're Bessie Smith was an inspiration to Billie Holiday. Dinah Washington, she performed in the same club at one point as Billie Holiday, and she, you know, they were also a bit of an inspiration to each other. And Dinah Washington actually did a whole album on Bessie Smith. Like, she performed and did a whole version of a whole range of her songs as well, but in her own way.
So there's quite a rich musical history just within these three artists and their influence on each other.
Definitely.
Now, what roles do you have to play in the show?
Well, myself, I'm not going to be playing the double bass, that's for sure. I think I'll leave that to Quinton, my partner here.
good idea, Bonnie.
And so I'll be doing vocal. I'll be singing vocals. Also, I'll portray the women in my own version of them. I'll be singing the songs in my own versions, but also some of the songs I'll try to sing in the way that they used to deliver the song. Also, I mean, I can't do that in every song, but there are certain ways to deliver those songs, and I'll be also wearing different outfits, so we'll change and try and portray the women as much as we can. Then we also have Josh. We actually have Lazaro Ernesto Numa Pompa on trumpet.
What a name.
Yes. He's not from Australia. He's actually from Cuba. He's moved over a year or so ago from Melbourne and is living in Adelaide now. So he'll be performing with us. And we have the wonderful Richard Coates on keys.
Now, I want to talk for a moment actually about the double bass, which you referenced before.
Yeah.
It is quite a formidable instrument. How fundamental do you think the double bass sound is to sort of this
in the style
period, and style?
It really is part of the style. If you listen to those, well, I was listening to some last night, some of those recordings, especially the Dinah Washington and Billie Holiday ones, it's, you know, a really big part of that sound. And when I started playing, I played the electric bass. The double bass kind of wasn't around. It had been sort of relegated to that old thing, get rid of that. But it's really made a huge comeback, and a good thing too. It's a great instrument, really. Got an enormous history, and it's got a lot of character. And it takes a lot of hard work to play it. So it's a bit of a challenge.
And to lug around to, I imagine.
Absolutely.
It takes a lot of space.
I'm going to Melbourne this afternoon, so I'm not taking this one. I'm taking a fold-up one to Melbourne because this one's a little hard to get on the plane.
And is it hard to go back once you've played the double bass? Is it a bit boring to go back
to
the standard?
Yeah, it's got a whole different thing because as well as having a nice sound, it's also got a percussion kind of element to it that, I think it's got so much more character than the electric. The only thing the electric does better is you can turn it up really, really loud.
Right. do a bit more wailing and
can crank the electric up really loud. But now the double's good, especially for these acoustic, music that was more acoustic in its roots, like this stuff.
Yeah, they didn't have microphones up until what year was it? They didn't have microphones.
Some of those Bessie Smith albums, I think, were made with microphones, but only her later ones, the microphones. The first Louis Armstrong album with a microphone was 1938. Yeah. His first single, I mean, it wasn't an album.
I mean, Louis Armstrong appeared with these women quite a lot as well. That's why we thought we initially had the show only as a three-piece, and then we went, no, you know what? A trumpet could really work in this show. I think it would add a lot to it. So we introduced that just last year.
Billie Holiday idolised Louis Armstrong. So
yeah. And during the show we talk a lot about the women. Like we give a bit of history. People come after the show. We've done the show a few times now. And after the show we have audience members coming up and saying, oh, wow, I never knew that. That's amazing. It was great to hear some of the stories about these women that we never knew. So
I just realised something, Bonnie.
Yes.
It's the 100th anniversary of this song we're going to play today.
Is it 100?
It was written in 1918.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It was written in 1918.
Well, great, since that's such a great little clue, what song are you going to play for us this morning?
It's called After You Gone. And it's it doesn't really sound that old. I think can't remember who wrote it, but whoever wrote it pioneered, I think, some great ideas in the song that everybody uses today. So it still sounds pretty modern. It doesn't sound like a 100-year-old song.
Oh, it's been done quite a number of times, redone, and one of the versions on YouTube is Fiona Apple, who's from Melbourne. She does a version of this song. She actually sang it in Spain or France to an audience over there as well. It's just a beautiful song.
Shall we do it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Do you want us to do it?
I would love that.
Shall I? I'll go up and you go down. Now listen, honey, while I say, how do you think you're gone away? Don't say that we must part. Don't break my aching heart. You know I loved you truly many years, loved you night and day. How could you leave me, honey? Can't you see my tears? Listen while I say, after you've gone, after we make up, after you've gone, you're gonna break up. You feel blue, you feel sad, you miss the bestest pal you ever had. Oh, there'll come a you grow lonely, there'll come a time you want me only. Someday when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine and you want me only. After you've gone away. Oh, after you've gone, there's no denying. After you've gone and left me crying, you feel bad, you feel sad, you miss the bestest pal you ever had. Oh, there'll come a time when you regret it, there'll come a time you won't forget it. All day think what you're doing, you know my love for you drive me to ruins after you've gone, after you've gone away. Quinton Dunn on double bass.
Well, that was fantastic. Thanks so much for that.
I was holding my breath through the whole song.
It's wonderful. That was a stripped back version there. If you want to hear the full band version, you're going to have to get down on the 9th of June to the matinee show, 2 p.m.
Yeah, Hugh Lazzaro playing his wonderful trumpet.
Yeah. It's at the Goodwood Institute, yeah.
Yes, it was... I was about to mention that. Hey, Quinton and Bonnie are in studio now from the show, Bessie, Billy, Dinah. Now, you were speaking before about how you sort of weave these three performers' stories throughout the show. You give a lot of information, a lot of musical history, context. Now, I imagine in doing the research for a show like this, you'd have learnt heaps of extraneous information, really interesting things that you were just like, oh, this is so interesting, but I can't find a way to fit that into the show. Is that the case?
Oh, choosing the songs, that's hard, but you end up with this enormous list of songs and how that fit and which ones don't sound too much alike. And when you ask people, when you think of Bessie Smith, what song do you think of? And when you think of Billie Holiday, what song do you think of? So I kind of used a little bit of that information, but it also has to be songs that you personally connect with. So because when you're singing it, you want to be able to express that feeling and feel it yourself. So because otherwise the audience isn't going to feel it. So you might not get some of the songs you expect, but you might get some that you do as well. So it's quite a mix.
Well, what was one, for example, that really resonated with you that you sort of heard and you went, oh, this one this needs to be in the show. It just speaks to me so much.
Oh, which one should we talk about? I don't know. There's quite a few. The first one that popped into my head, which isn't a, you know, it's called Gloomy Sunday. So, I mean, that's a fabulous one by Billie Holiday. I don't know if you know it, Tom?
I may have heard it. It sounds familiar. I'd have to give it a
listen. It has an interesting history. It was banned for 66 years in the UK and also in Hungary. I mean, a lot of people expect Strange Fruit, which I may put into the show another time. But this, if I was going to do Strange Fruit, I probably wouldn't do Gloomy Sunday. So most people would know Strange Fruit. So it's on a similar parallel in a way.
It's a bit depressing.
I don't want to tell you too much about it in case the audience is, but they'll hear about it in the show.
Yeah.
You were saying before about doing the research, and I was quite impressed to find out that Bessie Smith and her show weren't allowed to ride on the railways because they were all black and, you know, they'd have to ride in the scummy carriages down the back. So they bought their own railway car and hooked it on the back of the train, and it had it travelled 40 people in style because she had 40 people in the show. So
way back then.
Amazing. It just kind of made me think, well, that's a pretty big production to take on the road and tour all around the country. And where they didn't have theatres, they used to bring a circus tent and set it up and do the show in it. They play in the theatre or bring their own, you know, outdoor venue with them. So that's like today, we just you know, travel with a suitcase. Things were bigger then in entertainment.
Jump she on was, a plane.
She was the highest paid entertainer of her time.
Yes.
So she was a big star.
Yeah. She followed Ma Rainey was really big then, but she Ma Rainey took her under her wing, and then see you later, Bessie Smith. She was like bigger than big.
Wow. Well, it is a fascinating, slice of American history and musical history. Bonnie and Quinton, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Now, once again, this is the only Adelaide performance of this show, which has had sellout seasons at the 2016 and 17 Adelaide Fringes.
Yes.
And you can catch it Saturday, the 9th of June at the Goodwood Institute Theatre. There's only one show at 2 p.m., so make sure you get down. Thank you very much for joining.
That's right. And tickets are at Try Booking. Mm-hmm. So go to Try Booking or ring the Goodwood Institute.
Or go through the Adelaide Cabaret Fringe Festival
website. Yes, that's right. It's part of Adelaide Cabaret Fringe Festival.